Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
I'm a big fan of the show.
Chuck Ocelli, and he's been known for many years as a blind JFK researcher specializing in intelligence agency involvement in multiple assassinations, propaganda, and other global criminal operations in the 20th and 21st centuries.
Your listeners are extremely fortunate to have you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media.
Chuck O'Kelly! Yeah!
27th day of September 2018, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this, indeed, is the Ocelli Effect, broadcast live from the facilities of Ocelli.com, but also heard in a variety of other places, networks, etc., even occasionally on FM stations. Randomly, we're being tested out there in the FM market, so let's see what happens there. Anyway, it is a Thor's Day, and I did not make it for Woden's Day yesterday because I just was not feeling up to it. And besides that, there really wasn't anything to report yesterday. So, but this is an interesting day. Now, a lot of times I have Carmine with me on Thursdays, but since he's only doing every other Thursday now, I figured we'll drop something special in each and every Thursday. And as far as I'm concerned, this is a special presentation. Why? Because we're sort of revisiting something that we've already done. Now, for regular listeners or longtime listeners, you might remember when I was doing two shows, not only the Ocelli Effect, but something called Ocelli and the Greek. And, gee, the Greek is with me tonight. How you doing, man?
Hey, Chuck. I'm doing. Where are we? What is this? What's going on? Right.
Well, what? Anyway. What? You know. Listen. Allegedly, according to the calendar. Now, that's a funny thing because I have started saying that after long conversations with you, because the very first conversation we ever had, I think publicly, was all about telling time. And gee, I think we've had about six other conversations regarding the actual accurate depiction of what time it is on the planet, and you know, the Pope's work schedule and all that. We went through that stuff real early on and had to keep going over and over and over it. And why? Because a lot of people just simply do not listen to what is said. And that right. is something you impressed upon me. And sad to say, you were extremely right. Quite honestly, I am often attributed to have said things that I didn't say. People didn't hear when I did presentations where I've sat and painstakingly gathered together research to reveal something, and I sit there for 2 hours, I put it out, somebody claims to have listened to it, and then they send me remarks that show that they did not.
Well, you know, let's just talk it in the upper tiers of society, the way that the humans are regarded, as it's basically all about livestock management. You know, you got the dogs, the pigs, the cows, the goats, the sheep, right? So, you know, you've heard of references to animals, you know, so it's about livestock. So I don't know. What do you want to start out? You want to throw stuff in the trough, the feeding trough? You want to start off with lawful timekeeping?
Well, no,
I'm not
actually,
being sarcastic. I'm being accurate, by the way.
No, I know you're being accurate.
It's better than talking about Georgia peaches, though. But anyway, go ahead.
That was the before air discussion, Georgia peaches. But no, you know what? No, I don't want to do timekeeping. Why? Because nobody's going to pay attention anyway, and there's about five people to do it. So, you know what?
They're too primitive. Yeah, they're too primitive. Well, look, September, let's just do it this way.
Sure.
You know, time is just a recordation of events, which has nothing to do with most people, by the way, because, what goes on in most people's heads, especially, well, hey, that can't be true. I don't like what he's saying, so it can't be true. If I don't like it, it's not true. Why doesn't he say something I like? Because that's true. Right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's heresy, by the way. Heresy is the Greek word for what you like, you know, it's being true. So nonetheless, you've heard some of these New Age morons talk about there's no such thing as time. That's correct. Time is a reference point that's used to record events. Like, you know, when do you want me to come back? Well, soon. Like, how soon? Well, it's better if you say 5 minutes. Right now, you've got something you can, you can not only use it as a form of measurement, you have rational communication.
Well, you have a mutually observable something that you can measure by, right?
It's a standard.
Yeah, it's a standard. And look, that's why you talk about the wind-up toy or the digital representation thereof, is something that can be mutually agreed upon. It is objective. You know why? Because my clock should run just like your clock. And therefore we could agree that a certain increment of time can be attributed to an hour, 5 minutes, whatever. It makes a lot of sense. I tried to say to somebody the other day when they were giving me this argument about time and calendars and, you know, this is the real calendar and this is what it actually says. And I said, well, you know, first of all, I don't think anybody's got it right. Second of all, how about if I just start a time when I'm having a conversation from day one, which would be the day I was born? That would be day one, zero into one, right?
But the only thing about no one's got it right, but I could tell you who's got it wrong, meaning where you're subject to the point where you're just subject, slave, subject, whatever you want to call it, it's the same thing. Like, for example, right now the world is in a commercial dictatorship. And those that own all the corporate countries are laughing at everyone, you know, because they're focusing on politics and the bullshit science. You know, BS stands for bad science, like Jack Fresco would coin and all that.
Right.
So the thing is, with the clock, we can agree on the clock. But what happens if, how do we engage in clocks? Somebody's got to make one and then someone's got to buy one, right? What if you want to focus on reference points that don't have to be made and bought? The sun, the moon, and the stars never lose their damn clock. They never have. They never will. I mean, actually, they will for a little time. That'll be a sign to those that know. But
when was the last time you bought a clock, Greek? I mean, realistically, clocks just come along with things now. They do.
Well, let's
right?
just say it's inclusive in things that you buy, then.
It might be included as part of the package, but then again, so is paint. It's not like you really bought paint. You know what I'm saying?
But it's still, let's go back to the point. It's a commercial dictatorship. That's why people are looking for political reasons, religious reasons, and all that. They don't understand the commercial aspect of things, right?
Well, here's the point I want to make really quickly before you move on. Yes, you're right. It is about a commercial transaction. But here's the thing, and I think people don't consider this too often, is that there is a package deal involved. Now, the package deal that you and I can get is not necessarily the same as the package deal that somebody who's got, an exorbitant amount of digital figures in their alleged bank account.
Credits.
There you go.
Because there is no money. This is a big surprise to most people So good.
Well, but my point is that everything is a package deal, and I think that a lot of people don't even recognize what's fully in the package. It's almost as if they're ignoring the styrofoam because they're so fascinated by the TV, although styrofoam, cardboard, other plastic came along with the TV that they bought from Walmart. You know what I'm saying? And they might miss the remote and throw it away, and the batteries too, and a whole bunch of other stuff because they weren't observant enough to pick up on what the entirety of the package that was handed them is. Now, I just want to make that point really quickly, but go ahead.
Livestock never is. The livestock is only concerned about the feeding time, the rest time, the sex time, the play time. The package, you know, if you're right-handed, use your left hand, it feels like someone else is grabbing the package. But anyway, so...
Which is the subject I want to get to shortly, but continue.
Right. Even though you wouldn't believe, there's only like maybe 100 people out there that actually got something out of Greek speak over all the years of talking, speaking, I should say. It's more like talking because, you know, talking and speaking connotes different priority also. But, you know, when someone gives a talk, it's okay. Someone gives a speech. Oh, a speech, really? You know? But anyway, even people got a lot out of the lascivious comments, believe it or not. And you got to throw a little bit of that in. But here's the point of the matter is there is no point. Bottom line is you're embedded in a physical body, right? And you're limited by it, right?
Fair enough.
So first go to what is going to make your physical body optimum for the level of optimumness that you understand or want. So that means good food, good clothing, good shelter, the best you want to afford or can afford. The rest of it is really BS, either bad science or bullshit. Take your pick. Now, the problem with just saying it's just about that, to many people it sounds superficial. But on the way of pursuing good food, good clothing, and good shelter, you're going to learn about everything else there is to learn. You see, that's the prize in understanding the simplicity of it. And by the way, if you go back and study any of the ancient masters and sages, did they ever give you some complex formula and some bullshit math, or did they give you like real simple, profound stuff they had to think about, right? Give you an example, not that I'm in that group, but very often people write me emails, you know, like 2-3 paragraphs long asking questions. My response is 4 words. And they email me back a week later and says, man, I wrote you 3 paragraphs, you wrote me back 4 words, and I had to think about it for a week. So, in other words, you know, that has nothing to do with being a master or a sage. It has to do with operating with a high level of efficiency. Mm-hmm. So, you got efficiency, you got a human body, you got food, clothing, and shelter, and then you got that bitch called time. And I don't mean a female dog. I mean that in a pejorative way. Right. Because the thing is, you're going to be on this planet. Fortunately, you're not going to be living in this shit society. And I don't mean just America, the whole world, for 500, 600, 700 years like the ancient patriarchs or even close to 1,000 did. But you're only going to be living 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, right? So what are you going to do? Take up your time, right? Because you ain't going to change anything, right? And if you could change anything, you better figure out how you're going to do it by yourself, because you're not going to find anybody around you that makes any sense to do anything right.
Well, see, now, that's one thing that's missing from this very primal equation, where you're talking about good food, good shelter, and good clothing, right? There's one thing missing. See, if that's all you had, if you had the optimum of all those things, you're missing something. And that is something
time.
That seems to be essential. Well, it's not just time.
How are you going to take up time?
Well, it's time. I don't know how relevant time would be if you had the optimal...
Hold on, you got the aging factor, right?
Oh, of course.
But then you got, you got good conversation. You want to have a good conversation? Yeah, right. Good luck. How are you going to find that?
Well,
okay, the other thing is good entertainment, right? Really? You're going to get good entertainment?
Well, okay. But that's my point, is that there's still something else missing there. Why are you reaching for conversation and entertainment? Is the connectivity between individuals. Right.
What individuals?
Well, individuals as in, gee, wait a minute, you have a wife.
Is that a quantitative or a qualitative question?
Well, that should
quantity, just walk out your door and grab anybody, or quality individuals?
Well, obviously,
again,
it would be quality,
you ain't
gonna find if you've gone for the optimal circumstance in your food, your shelter, and your clothing.
Right.
And you know, why would you not go for the most optimum circumstance regarding the company you keep?
That's right. Now, if you can't find the quality individuals, guess what you got to do? You got to make them.
Ah, okay. Now there's an interesting point.
You got to make them quality. And even there, there's a QC, there's a sifting. You know, when people are making things in manufacturing, you ever notice, like, let's say you want to make the best chairs in the world, you get all this lumber delivered to you. You're not going to use all the lumber. Some of it's got knots in it, cracks, you know, right? Even you ordered the premium stuff, you're going to choose that down to the best grade. Then you're going to start making your furniture. And even when you're making it, you might have some errors, and you got to reject that one and start all over.
Well, and some things are damaged in shipping too. I mean, you know.
That's right. Damaged goods is a good label for most people.
There you go.
That's what the word average means, by the way. Look it up etymologically. The word average. I'm just an average Joe. Average means damaged goods. I'm not making. This is not my. You know. This is your ref. You know, anybody's reference. So the thing is, the other thing is, to make an individual quality, that means that you have to know the aspects of it, and they have to be willing to see them also, because you're not putting a gun to someone's head, right?
Well, just like with telling time, you got to have some sort of mutual agreement of measurement about said things in order to be able to recognize quality, don't you?
Well, also you have to do it from a non-materialistic point of view.
Well,
let's say you have an individual that wants to do it but just doesn't get it. Then we got this other bitch called cosmic censorship.
Which
I mean, I don't mean a female dog. I mean that as a pejorative, something that's really shouldn't be there, but it is, right? I guess that's a good definition of bitch.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So,
and you know what's funny about that, by the way, is cosmic censorship is, again, one of those very initial terms that I encountered with you, and I've got to say it has proven to be excessively true. It is, but at the same time, I'm noticing something.
There's a school. I have a school, by the way, on how to overcome that. It's private. I don't really talk about it ever on public, any sonic emanation at all. Mm. Why bother is my motto. Right. Why bother, right? But I'll give a little bit of that.
Well, but before,
it's quite simple.
Before you
how
go
to get
into
over
that,
the cosmic censorship.
Well, I want to hear that for sure. But before you go into that, I've noticed something odd lately in the censorship. It seems to be cracking a bit.
Has to. Because if you go to death row and you ask people on death row, why are you here? They're going to tell you, yeah, because the judge, I got convicted for this, this, and that. The minute you go on death row and someone says, I don't know why I'm here, they pull you out of prison, run you through the whole court thing again. Because you have to be there through consent. And if you can't, they can't get you consent, they have you criminally insane. They get off of death row. Right now, the world is criminally insane. So you can't condemn them to a cleanup crew. So what's happening, you have to break some of the censorship. Let them know that their felonious behavior is ready to be dealt with. Have them admit it, whether it's for 0.3 seconds, 10 seconds, or a minute, or a day. And then let them go back to their cosmic censorship ways, and even worse. And then you send the cleanup crew. Because you have documented that they have already acknowledge their fault and their flaw and their behavior. Mm. Very simple how the cosmic worlds work. You know, and I say worlds plural because there's various stations in that world. There's various hierarchies, just like on the Earth. You know, I like the, you know, the weaponized morons they call the military, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not anti-military because I'm just being objective. They're morons. And I also, I've known four-star generals, and I've known people in the military, and they all agree, but privately, publicly, they won't say it. So let's just be brutally honest here.
Right.
You have the grunt enlisted guy, then you've got officers, and then you've got various stations of officers that go up to the command, right? Each one of them is a completely different society. Like if you go down to an Air Force base or a military base to have lunch, you have the enlisted mess, you know, looks like high school lunch with the trays. Then you have the officers' place where they eat. I forgot, officers' hall. And you sit down at a table with a white cloth, and you're served with, you know, chef, you know, people with chef hats, right?
Sometimes it's called a lounge.
Or a lounge, right. And I've eaten at both, right? And then you've got the higher one where you have, you know, the higher ranking, and then it's even better than just the officers' lounge, let's say.
Right, right.
So those are like completely different societies. So when you're going into like the realm of the gods, which people, you can't have a discussion on this because the people are just too whacked out to even reference anything. Mm.
There are a couple of odd references in the chat room, by the way, which, you know, I don't know if you've been in there yet, but we do have the live chat room at Ocelli.com. Which, you know, you can get to through the listen live button if you're hearing this on your smartphone or dumb phone or whatever it is, your tablet, your fondle slab of choice, whatever it might be. Fact is, you can get to a chat room. And there's a couple of odd things in there that were, looks to me timing-wise, as though they were put out either right when we were coming to air or right after. So they're random questions. Do you want to address those right away, or should we...
I'll wait till I get back into the office. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make some coffee while we're speaking. Want some?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So, and I might mute intermittently. But here's the other aspect. That's the primary aspect, right? Then you got the secondary aspect, which is the material aspect that everyone likes to discuss. Like, you know, whether you're discussing like medicine or religion or science, it's always, you know, material. They can't deal with the aspect that, you know, controls the material, the non-material based, right? Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, even one of the put-downs or pejoratives that people tend to use against other people is like, I don't like him, he's too materialistic. It means like superficial, right? You know, or, you know, whatever, it had no depth, right? Kind of thing. So discussing things that, in other words, the primary causes, like for example, you ever heard something called a chronic illness, right? They have this thing called chronic ailments, you know, the medical, the quacks do, right? Mm. If I translate that to English, all that means is they don't know the cause of it. They can only treat the symptom, and because they don't know the cause, it keeps coming back, therefore it's chronic. That's like a very sly-handed way to say we don't know what causes it, so we'll call it chronic, right?
Which
you see what I mean?
Which makes perfect sense, because as you know, well, I suffer from continuous back pain, and it is because they do not know how to deal with it. I went through the medical industry for quite a while, and all I got there was addicted to some painkillers, which I'm not anymore, but that was the best solution for masking the symptom that they could find, and there was no way to fix it. You see.
Well, you get yourself a piece of quartz. Remember the crystal ball thing that people used to talk about in ancient times? Oh, crystal ball, see the future, right?
Sure.
That's a big distraction. Get yourself some really clear quartz, which is very rare to find. Make a slit in front of it, and you could put the person in dim light, and you'll see what kind of creature is hanging onto your back. And then instead of addressing the pain, address the creature and watch what happens. The back pain goes away.
Hmm.
You have to have a sight for that. Anyway, I never said that before publicly, did I?
No, okay. You haven't. You have not.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really interesting.
There are more spiritual beings than there are physical. There are more unphysical things than there are physical things. That's an easy thing to imagine, even. So that's why the crystal ball went down through the fame of whatever, right? But that's not why, because for example, like spiritual beings don't see, if you're, let's say, a ghost, a spirit, an angel, whatever, a god, you don't see the world the way we do, because we see the world. Yeah, I know you have a little bit of a seeing or sight challenge, but let's just roll along with this. They don't see the world. They don't see green and blue, and they don't see the objects like we do, because we are seeing it through the receptacle of the eye, the organ tissue and all that, right? They don't have material eyes. So when you show an angel or a spirit or whatever, let's say a red beach ball, they don't see it as a red beach ball like you do, because they don't have a physical eye. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
So by using other things to distort, not distort, but add the ultimate solid is a crystal form in front of the human eye. Now it's both material and immaterial, because a crystal is a very difficult material to define. You get to see into things that are quite interesting. Not all the time, but it happens enough that you understand. But here's, once you understand that level of science, that's like the level of science that the Christians did away with, right? If you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Which
funny,
by the way,
I use crystals,
yeah,
in a lot of the things that I do on a spiritual level. I've never heard of this using the quartz to deal with the back issue, though.
Well, it's kind of hard to. You could probably use a mirror also, but the mirror is going to be silvered on the back of the glass. You need a mirror that's silvered on the front, or a highly polished metal plate.
Ah, okay.
That changes it again. You understand? Have you ever seen yourself in a mirror that's silvered on the front? You look odd. You look at it, you're like, whoa, I've never seen such detail before. Because whenever you look at a mirror, you're actually looking through a given thickness of glass with the silver on the back, right?
Right.
That's distorted. That's not what you really look like. Like, for example, all mirrors are slightly distorted, and an exaggeration of that would be funhouse mirrors, right?
Mm.
But if you have a perfectly flat mirror that's silvered on the front, you really get to see what you look like. But here's the other interesting part. Once you understand this reality, you don't need those devices, and you could just address the spiritual side from the get-go. It's kind of like a really good mechanic. Like, most people have a problem with their car, call a mechanic, I don't know what it is, but a really good mechanic can hear a car going down the street and say, hey, that guy's power steering pump's ready to go.
Right.
Just by the car driving by. Right? Or that guy needs his brakes changed. You hear that? No, I don't hear. What is that, right? You see? So in other words, what does that come down to? It's the old T word called troubleshooting. You know? A good troubleshooter is really what you're looking for when you're trying to deal with the mechanics of something, whether it's a material mechanical aspect or a non-material. See, that's where we've talked about paganism back and forth, but to be clear about it, there's a big movement in that, right?
Mm.
The paganism. That to me, when I hear people talking about paganism, I translate it to normal terms, and that just means we're sick and tired of all the mainstream religions. We need something that works. That's all they're really saying. But they're just as ignorant as the rest. And I watch a lot of the things they do, and I'm like, it's not about pagan or non-pagan or whatever. It's, do you know the truth? And the answer to that for most people is no. They're just searching, because there's no. It seems like most people have discovered that there's no reward in finality. The reward is in the search, right? It's like that stupid saying, it's not getting there, it's the trip that matters. Ah, that's bullshit. Ask anybody who rides the bus. Would you rather snap your fingers and be at work right away, or would you rather take that stupid bus trip? You see?
Yeah,
of course.
Try taking the Greyhound to Dallas. I'll tell you all about how the trip is not the fun part.
It never is. That's why, for example, if you read any of the real ancient sages, I mean, none of this stuff is out, by the way. You have to really look for it. And if it's in a foreign language, you're screwed because they never translated correctly. But when you read let's use the standard biblical text, when you reach a certain height of knowledge, it's time to check out. And if the other side really likes you, they pull you out. They retract you from this mess, right? Wasn't there a Disney film about the little pig like that? You know, like imagine a pig farm and the farmer's daughter really likes one of the little pigs. Do you think she's going to take it out? She's going to leave it in with the mess, or she's going to pull it out and clean it up and, you know, because he's so cute and cuddly, right? You get it? Excuse me. So, coffee's almost ready here. So,
well, it's cool, but on a personal level, I got to tell you something. On a personal level, I have often felt that that there was a truth to this idea that people that are of a certain level of consciousness are often sort of just removed from the scene, especially right before something very, very horrible is about to happen that affects like a mass group of people. I've noticed that, yeah. that people just seem to depart.
If the superiors deem it so, if they deem it that you need to go through it, then you go through it. That's either way, it's fine because you leave it up to their superior knowledge. But here's one of the things I wanted to get to with the cosmic censorship, because this ties. Look at what are these guys talking about? The first key to cosmic censorship. This is just I'm not pushing you out of the way, but check this out. I'm not stepping on anything here, but just do a hard stop and a hard right.
Yeah, go ahead.
You ever notice how people say, "I believe this" or "This is my faith"? Okay, that's total bullshit for most of them. The reason why is because knowledge must come before faith. Most people have no knowledge in why and what they believe in, whether it's mainstream religion, alternative religion, you know, the sciences, got political issues and all that. Once you learn to flip that around, then you get to the point where you could start seeing through the cosmic censorship. Give you an example. You ever heard of religious conversion? Let's say somebody says, "Oh, I want to be a Jew." You go to the rabbi, you know, and you say, "I want to convert to Judaism." He gives you all these pamphlets and things you have to study, right? Or, "I want to be a U.S. citizen." They give you all these things you have to study. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah, right? everything. Like
that. Okay. But most people now, like, they ask them, "Oh, I'm Christian." Or, "Really, why?" "I don't know. My parents were. I just, you know, they just need to say that." They don't. And but the thing is, what people believe in and their faith, yes, their faith, also is congruent with what's acceptable and commendable in society. Like, for example, in America, if you say, "I'm Christian," everybody pats you on the back. Like, "Oh, this is a man of great faith. He's a Christian. He's good." Mm. Bullshit. He doesn't know anything, because if you knew anything about what the Bible was or Scripture or the history of the characters in Christianity, you would run away from Christianity. You'd set your hair on fire if you had to, just to prove a point. The same thing with all the main religions, including the paganism and including the Buddhism, including all this other stuff, right? All of it. It's just trash. And most people find that if they pick something that say, "But I believe that this should be done," "Oh, really, based on what?" And they can't tell you. That's how you know someone is censored. Ask them, what's your faith? "Oh, I'm Christian." "Why?" Censored. Boom. Okay, now you have to make a decision. You're going to start scratching a little bit, not scratch and sniff, but just scratch and say, "Hey, look, is this workable or not? You know, or is this one of them that's been, you know, subject of the state, gone, a goner, right?"
Right.
And you're saying, "I'm a scientist." "Oh, really? Okay, sure." "Oh, well, you bring up a couple of points. You know what the best thing is for a scientist? Can you define a field?" And they can't. They tell you it's a wave. A wave is not what something is. A wave is what something does.
Hmm.
Right? They tell you lights are photons, little particles. Really? You know, remember the incandescent light bulbs? Is that emitting photons? Really? How can it do that, asshole? It's in a vacuum, isn't it? What do you mean? The photon goes through the solid glass? No problem. Doesn't make a hole in the glass, and it comes out and it keeps going. It's that small dick. You know, I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, all their stuff is rubbish. Right?
And then what about a finite amount of space? Because, you know, if you leave a light on long enough, isn't it going to fill up a box? You know, I mean, if you
and also the power lines. The power lines. If electrons are moving, there should be no wire, no other thing left on the wires. I mean, this is really stupid. Quantum, you know, it's stupid stuff. And then you move on to politics. Mm-hmm. And you know, I always harp on old people because they deserve. Look, I'm in my sixth decade right now. I'm past the 50 plus, you know, mark, way in the middle of it, right? So that puts me in my sixth decade, right? And I still, you know, when I said old people have no value anymore at all. Actually, they haven't for a long time. And because I tell this to young people, I say, stop deluding yourself that you're going to see an older person and they got something smart or wise or any advice to give you. They don't. And if you find one, let me know. And still no one's ever called me, right? And they're all, most of them are dead. And here's the thing. The reason with that is people say, oh, you're into politics, right? Why don't you go study what's already documented by the quote unquote government about the government, right? Like reading someone's diary, you learn a lot about them, right? Yeah, because when you read someone's diary, and if it's a true diary, you're going to get to see stuff that they don't present in the facade when you meet them every day. You know what I mean? So when you get to read, for example, what the government puts out in their, general printing office and various statues, various histories, you get to see the side of government that you don't see on CNN, Fox News, and alternative media, right? Okay, and people say, I don't have the time to do that. Okay, then how come the older people, they're retired, they're on pension, how come they don't do it? And you ask them, oh, I don't care, right? So, for example, with politics, what people don't understand is, and actually, without getting into much, is a guy named Dmitry Kalazov, K-H-A-L-E-Z-O-V. And he talks a lot about the nuclear demolition of the World Trade Center and a lot of the nuclear terrorism going on. He recently did some videos which I found to be very refreshing because it's just someone else saying it from a different point of view. In terms of politics, what people don't understand is I'm going to give a 60-second, maybe 75 or 80-second, minute and a half history lesson here that's true and accurate that anyone could reference. What do people know about the Victorian era? Nothing, thanks for being honest. Okay, Victorian era was basically 1800s to the beginning of the 20th century, right?
Okay.
Go study what happened there. And not about just gas lamps and stuff. It was really screwed up. What the people that rule the world financially, industrially, religiously, and all that decided, let's make a real optimum system. Just like in the Matrix, remember when you made a perfect environment that it all fell apart? They need the challenge. You remember he said that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They made the first one into a paradise and people couldn't accept it. It just didn't work is what the
right.
idea
okay.
but the architect said, right?
Right. So, people ask me, who are they, Greg? It's like 3-hour explanation. I don't know exactly who they are, but I could narrow it down really accurately. Who owns everything? So I said, let's keep all the countries separate. But we do want to make the people our property. So, like, for example, you know, you hear someone says, I crashed my car and I destroyed it. Do you have insurance? Good. Okay, good. No problem. So when they talk about people, we killed 20,000 people today. You have insurance? Good. No problem. They don't view you as people. They view you as, you know, chattel, as animals, right?
Right.
And it's because of the way you act. You accommodate them, too. You know, they give you a chance to act like humans or men and women, and you don't. But anyway, what they did during the Victorian era was they said instead of directly conquering people so they know who to point the finger at, let's create this corporation called a sovereign state.
Okay.
And we own the sovereign state as private owners, and we get all the people to sign up through government forms, their bodies and all their labor. You know, they have to register everything, birth certificates, they have to get licenses, they have to join political parties, and they join our religions. Like, you know, these Christians, you know, I can't stand their fake values and their fake morals. They don't understand that's a state religion. It has nothing to do with any particular god or any particular ancient writ. The same with all the religions, by the way. Just the fake morality is unbelievable. They don't understand that it's a state creation, just like the Big Mac is a creation of McDonald's, right? So when you go back to it, what they do is they have the sovereign state. Now, if you have reading comprehension, if you read the U.S. Constitution, and what I just told you is very clear in that, by the way. But, you know, there's people that talk about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and slave talk. That's all I see. It's deafening, right? How many times have you ever heard, oh, we went to the moon, oh, we attacked Iraq, or my whatever? What do you mean we attacked? Who's we? What are you talking about, right? Okay, so this thing called the sovereign state, and the sovereign state has to have a registration, a process, right?
Right.
Which is what you have. And it has to have a set of laws and management. Like, for example, you could look up sovereign state right now. Academic definition tells you it does three things. One is it has absolute control over the territory and everything in it. Two, it maintains order. Three, it provides services. You got it? One, two, three.
Yep.
Okay. Where does it say you have a right? You have rights and votes and laws in there? Nowhere.
Nope.
That's all a charade based on what culture you have. Give me an example in terms of culture. Like Americans freak out. I said, you know, rights, I don't care about rights. What are you talking about, Greek? This country is based on it. You know, in order to go under rights, that means you've transgressed or broken some law to go under rights. Right? In other words, like when someone broke a law in a very like anarchistic, savage society, they just kill you on the spot. They, people say that's not good because what if he was innocent? Yeah, I guess you're right. He has the right to a trial. He has a right to three hots and a cot. He has a right to bear arms. He has a right. You see where rights come in? That's slave talk. Right? I'll give you an example. Let's go to a country where it's all headhunters, right? So we run into a guy and we say, hey, you know, does it? He opens up a bag and he's got five shrunken heads. And you're like, does it bother you to have that? He says, yeah, you know, it does. I said, why? Because my brother, he's got 10. Mm. Right? So these Americans, they keep wanting more rights. I'm like, whoa, man, you guys are screwed. Right? And I'm talking because I'm presuming mostly an American audience. Right? And then you go to any other country, you know, until you get to the point where people are free, they don't care about that, any rights or anything like that. They are functioning under law. You see what I mean? I mean, which is basically the thing about law is do no harm. And also don't try to do barter or exchanges with demons. Right? Right. You know, that's like, for example, if you read like the higher aspects of the cosmic setup, what they call pagan cultures, especially if you read biblical stuff where they did children and human sacrifices to gods and all that. What the people were trying to do is like an exchange system with the gods. If we do this sacrifice, you'll do this for us, right? Mm. Where the higher lawful beings, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do an exchange like that. Because they already – and it's like the thing, you know, I was invited to go and speak around some – a while back, some very wealthy people, powerful people in this country and privately. And one of the people, you know, everyone, it was what they call a birthday, which I'm not into. This is, you know, what are you going to bring? So what do you buy? What do you bring somebody who guy's a billionaire? What do you buy him? What do you bring him to impress him? What are you going to bring him?
Good
he
question.
Has everything. Yeah. You know, what do you give what do you give to someone who already has everything? I mean, doesn't have everything, but you know what I mean? Okay. So a lawful God doesn't do that kind of exchange on that basis, you see. Right. So you keep progressing into the concept of lawfulness, you're going to lose your average man or woman because they have no concept of something like that. The only place where you might have some free lawful people are some people in the mountains of Afghanistan in sandals. I'll give you an example. There's an Army Ranger that was here in the Southwest. Remember when they went into Afghanistan and Iraq, right?
Of course.
And he was in Afghanistan. He was a ranger. And what they did was they set up a tent, an area for people to come in and register their houses, their children, and their cars with the state, you know, the sovereign state. And they all looked at him and laughed at him. Like, are you joking? You mean if I register to this, then I have to pay? Okay, so basically my children, my car, and my house is mine right now. But when I register it with you, I have to pay a use fee to you. Otherwise, you take it away, right? And they're like, yeah, exactly. They're like, screw you, man. That's what's going on in Afghanistan, not what you're – you see?
Mm-hmm.
But in America, if you set up a booth, come on, oh, registration? Oh, this is so convenient. I don't have to do it in the mail. I could just do it right now. Oh, yeah, birth certificate? Oh, yeah, we go right here. They lack the ideology. Okay, so what does this mean? Food, clothing, and shelter. In other words, you're going to have to live this through. There's nothing you can do to change it, right?
Mm.
There's no political answer. There's a spiritual answer, obviously. I'll give you an example with the spiritual answer. You know, if you read ancient texts, there were 72 gods that were put over all of the nations, over the chief god. And the 72 gods were supposed to operate everybody lawfully, but they decided not to. That's why when you look at the dollar bill, it says, in God we trust. They don't tell you which god, because that's the American god.
Right.
If you go to Persia or Iran or Iraq, it's a different god, but they don't use the name. Even the Muslims, they say Allah. That's not Allah. It's El Allah. El Allah in Aramaic or Arab cognate. El means the, and Allah, Allah, E-L-A-H, for example, or A-L-A-H means the God. They don't use the name. They don't know the name either.
See, I thought El was a specific deity, actually, to an area in Persia. Well, one time there was a deity that they described as El, which has nothing to do.
They, Well, that's just a class of people. That's just like saying a Leo, a law enforcement officer.
Okay.
Right? Right? You know, a cop.
All right.
Yeah.
That's, I got you.
But you got to realize you have to also discern, were there common Joe Schmoes 3,000 years ago? Yes. I'm answering for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course they were. If you look at the common Joe Schmo today or whatever, the stuff that's put out by whether it's the priesthood, the people in control, the owners, the kings, to the obvious, to the group of people known as the commoners for public consumption is garbage. Low-level stuff, general. None of your business. Most of the higher-level stuff is need-to-know basis. Again, to the military, right? Mm. Do you need to know the launch codes for the anti-whatever rocket system? No, because you're not going to be there, so it's a need-to-know, right?
Yeah, if you're carrying a rifle, all you need to know is that rifle.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So the more people we tell, we start compromising. So the stuff that's put out for public consumption now, and public consumption, I mean your highest universities. If you really want to have a laugh, by the way, I've had a recent Skype discussion about medical and law, and I said that they don't teach this anymore, either medicine or law, you know, how the human body works or real law. And I said, I'm going to read you some college curriculums. And I was reading the curriculums, you know, for medicine and law. And they're like, what are you reading from? Is that like some bullshit community college? I said, no, that's Harvard, man. Right? And people are like, oh, Harvard. You see, again, it's like the headhunters, right? The culture. So you have to kind of look and see what the culture is based on. So, for example, let's say you're in America and you say, what's your religion? What? That's no good. Because in America, they don't believe in a. In America, you have to be a good Christian. Oh, good Christian. Oh, that's great. You see? So because the culture accepts, do they know anything about it? Nope.
See, I had this odd argument with somebody about this, too, where they were pushing the whole, you know, if somebody's a Christian, then they're obviously a good person kind of thing on me. And I said, well, you know, that's interesting because as I recall throughout my life and, you know, here we go. I can only report what I can observe, right? I've observed over and over again plenty of criminals who basically would describe themselves as Christians in one way or another.
It doesn't matter because it's the headhunter thing. You know, it's the culture. You know, give an example. Like how many times have we discussed religiosity on O&G?
Right.
And if you read the Quran, you don't find any law in there because it tells you to go do biblical law in five different places, right?
Right.
How many Muslims do biblical law? None. Because if you follow the Quran, there's no way you can go back and call yourself a Muslim. Now, Christianity is easy to demolish, actually. You know a cheap sweater? You ever see like a really cheap sweater and you put it on and someone says, look, there's a thread here, and they keep pulling it and then like they pull it for a minute and half the sweater's gone?
Yeah. I've actually seen that, yeah.
Okay, Christianity is a cheap sweater. There's one thread you could keep pulling on because people have no knowledge of anything. Is what's their symbol? They show you a guy nailed to a cross wearing a diaper with long hair, always. They wear the crucifix, all that stuff, right?
Right.
Okay. If you go to the biblical text, there's two places in Scripture that give you a direct order of how that happened. When this man was arrested, he went through the various Judean authorities. Finally, he had to be brought to Pontius Pilate because they were occupied, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the occupying force. And he said, this man is innocent. He's not guilty of what you bring him here for, right? And then if you keep reading, what a concept, right? Remember Riff?
Yeah,
anyway.
Sure.
Okay. What does he say? Because no one's read it.
Well, what he says is, I find that this man has committed no crime,
and
I turn him back over to you to deal with him with your laws.
Exactly. And then he says in another place, he says, I know you have a law.
Well, okay, but I'm paraphrasing here. Yes,
right,
he
exactly.
does say you have a law, and
now,
you can use that to deal with him. He's talking to
the Judean authorities.
Well, the Judean authorities, right, who are in the crowd, but who are supposed to be submissive to the ruling authority, which is him, and he washes his hands of it, literally, which is, you know,
now,
the
washing
idea.
The hands means two things. One means that he washes his hands of it, so the pagans kind of say, oh, yeah, it means I'm washing my hands of it. But if you know the law, what does that mean? In the biblical law, it says that when a dead body is found and we don't know who killed him or her, the elders are to come out and wash their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a symbol of the law.
Right.
Well, we know that capital punishment, now, we're not, if you go back and this prescribed, and also the Judeans protested. They said, how are we going to use our law under Caesar? How are we going to use our law? He says, I'm making an exception. Right? Now, why were there Romans present? Very simple, because they're the occupying force. Let's say, for example, the U.S. is occupied by the Chinese. You're going to have Chinese police and Chinese military, right?
Okay.
Okay, and all your government buildings and all that. Now, let's say you want to do the 4th of July. You think you're going to start shooting off fireworks? No.
Not without their permission.
From the Chinese. And now when you do your 4th of July parade, what kind of police presence are you going to see on 5th Avenue? You're going to see American or Chinese police presence?
Still going to be Chinese police, yeah.
Exactly. That's why the Romans cast lots for his clothes, because they were told how it was going to go down, because part of the law is anything that hangs from a tree is accursed and to be burned. They knew all that stuff was going to be burned.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we're not that stupid. We know that under the Judeans did Mosaic law, and under Mosaic law, capital punishment was lapidation or stoning.
Right.
And we're not that stupid, because the book of Deuteronomy tells us that the high crime you nailed to a tree. And we're not that stupid. We know what kind of a tree it was. You know. So the whole thing falls apart very, very quickly. That's a good That's a good thing. And the thing is, you know, people say, oh, this guy's anti-Christian. No, no. Doing you a favor. You know, you gotta like wise up and man up or woman up or something. Wake up, because if you don't wake up now, you're going to be woken up later when you don't like it so much. Right?
Mm.
So, and then you hear all these other stories about all this. It's just ridiculous. You know, every concept, I think we've gone into metaphors of the Buddhists, the Hindus, all of them. They're all idiots. All of them, across the board, you know. So what happens here is you say, well, how come everyone partakes in these major religions? Because they're state religions. It's a form of patriotism, which is a disease, by the way, like Jack Fresco. So, you know, when another one, someone says, I'm patriotic. These people are patriotic. Look, before you even go there, you know what you expect? I'll tell you what you're going to hear. You're going to hear the language of war, you're going to hear the language of hate, and you're going to hear the language of ignorance, every one of them. They each have their own different way of expressing those things. Ignorance, hate, and war.
You know, that's interesting. That's your second reference to DeFresco there. Is he still alive, by the way?
Oh, no, he died at like 102, man. I don't know. He
lived a long time.
I need to give references so people have somewhere to go, because they're not going to understand a word that I'm saying anyway.
Well, no, I understand,
so
but you
hear
know,
Jack
let me,
Fresco.
Yeah, let me throw it into context, though, in case people forget. This is the guy who was in one of the Zeitgeist movies, certainly.
But here's the thing. The people listening, and you and other people, myself, are far ahead of Fresco. He didn't know anything about the gods. He didn't know anything about cosmic censorship. He doesn't know how the money system works. He doesn't know about the sovereign states. He doesn't know how the human body works.
Well, no, but he had a very plain idea about what was wrong with what was going on.
He's a tool. He's a tool in your toolbox.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
In other words, when you need a screwdriver, you get a screwdriver. When you get a hammer, well, you get the Greek. But anyway, I'm just joking.
There you go.
when you really need to do some damage, you get the Greek speak. But anyway. Okay, so the concept here is very, very simple. Be objective, get your reference points together. You've been lied to. And you know, recently I had a messaging thing with someone, and I made a statement. He says, good, I'm glad that was a lie also, you know, what they told me before on it. Because this, you know, the safest way to have consistent thinking is to think that you're always been lied to about everything. And when I messaged him that this wasn't so, he says, well, thank you. Now I know that I was lied to about that too. Thanks. I mean, it's consistently, you know what I mean? That's how you keep your sanity.
Well, see, that's an interesting point, though, because it is difficult to discern sometimes what is a lie and what is truthful. I mean, obviously, there are empirical ways to prove certain things. And, you know, listen, if somebody tells you that they can flap their arms and fly, you know, okay, so if you can't demonstrate it.
There are three ways to do the lie thing. First is the way the babies do it. Why did you stop using that organ? Second is by study and time, you know, put some time into it. And the third is being objective, right? And by the way, it's not about shooting the messenger, but you can identify the messenger. You know how they say, well, you can't judge a book by its cover. Bullshit! If it's big, thick, and yellow, it's a freaking telephone book, man. I could judge that shit from a mile away, or maybe like 100 feet, right? Of course you can judge a book by its cover, but not always, right? I mean, you know, if you go into a law office, for example, you see all the codes, all the books look alike, leather-bound, right?
Right, right.
That's different, right? Okay, so...
But even even things that appear to be leather-bound, though, are crap, too. I mean, I've seen that.
Of course they are.
You know, and there you go.
So. I mean, look, you know, here's the thing. You hear about this goddess religion, and I know most people hate what they call the scriptural work or the biblical work. They hate it, and even, you know, whatever. But, you know, there's a goddess in there that's like a malfeasant, you know. She's kind of, you know, hostile and aggressive towards men. And meanwhile, you got this document called the Constitution to establish justice. Right now, there's this, the morons, I don't know, they're talking. You know, here's the thing. The Supreme Court in America, right?
Yikes.
Yeah. Anybody could go look this up. There's over a dozen places where what they call Supreme Court justices say the Constitution of the United States has nothing to do with the people like they think it does. Do you want me to say that again, or you got it?
Well, I got it. You can say it as many times as you want. In other words,
the Supreme Court justices already have admitted on their record, which is the interesting thing to say Supreme Court, because it's not a court of record, it's an appeal court. But anyway, it's just people are so stupid. I mean, it doesn't matter. But those jokers, they even tell you the Constitution of the U.S. has basically got nothing to do with the American people like they've been told or they think it is. In other words, the Supreme Court judges or justices, it's ridiculous. Anyway, those clowns are saying we're not going to step on the propaganda. We're going to let the propaganda go because these people are so stupid they have a choice. You see, but make a long story short here. What is justice? It's always personified as a woman in either battle garb or subtle garb, bearing some kind of a weapon, and she's blindfolded.
Mm.
Now, when I say battle guard, in ancient times, you'll find her literally in battle guard. She's not blindfolded, meaning she's got shields and swords and, you know, all kinds of shit.
Armor plating, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And recently, she's blinded, right? So how are you going to look at evidence, right? That's why you ever people go, they didn't want to look at the – I mean, can it be any more plain that you're worshiping the goddess religion? And then the other question is, what do you know about the goddess religion? Nothing. Thanks for being honest. Because most people don't know anything about historically what the goddess religion is about. So, you know, what do you do? Hey, what are you going to do, right?
What are you going to do? Well, look, we're actually winding down.
Double note.
Yeah. We're actually winding down the first hour, right? Where generally I do take a break. I mean, if you were really on a roll and you were going to keep rolling, I would have just let you roll until you wanted to take a break. But we're coming
roll
close
on out
to
of
that.
Here.
We're coming close to that time. So what we'll do is take a break here in a minute. But this is some fascinating stuff. Now before we do, if you don't mind, I'm going to just throw the little pieces from the chat room at you in case you're not looking at it.
No, I could, but go ahead, throw them at me, yeah. Let's read them out so everybody else could hear them.
Sure. First of all, are there gods, are there men posing as gods is a question. Another question here. Now, these are all three from the same, three comments from the same person, actually, comments/questions. What are the three bloodlines?
I guess of mankind, that would be
three bloodlines of mankind.
There's probably more, but there are three major ones, and that, let's just say that would take more than an hour just to give the background. And I would suggest that tie in that you've been lied to about everything with do you comprehend what's being said in Genesis, and do you comprehend what happened after that? And the third thing is that it's a secret.
Hmm.
Yeah. But can we classify them? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can classify them. And are there men posing as gods? I mean, that's the state's wet dream. And the shareholders, those who own all the governments in the countries, that's their wet dream, how to get someone to pose as a god so all the morons can follow.
Well, see, but that's the thing.
It's a political dream for men to pose as a god.
But in a way, isn't that really what's already happening? Because... most of the of the dedication and the veneration that is granted to a lot of political figures and systems and everything else, I mean, literally, there are people that call themselves atheists, and basically, in my estimation, they worship the government's structure. You know,
well, yeah, you get your law from your God, and the state, you know, they supply you with one. But, you know, the atheists, like I said, you've heard me say it. Greek, I don't believe in that because I don't have a God. I said, well, then do you follow the laws of the state? And they say, well, yes, I do. Well, then the state is your God, right. And April 1st is your holiday. Anyway.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, is that it seems to me as though I'm trying to think of the word here. It doesn't matter. In a very interesting sort of way, what has supplanted the activities that would normally be directed toward a god or an actual deity are often being directed toward, you know, men who have achieved a certain level of power. Like, I often remark about the fact that people think that rich, somebody who has, you know, a great deal of credits in their accounts, means that they are of a higher quality as a person.
Oh,
and
no.
That is not even close to true.
Look, I was around someone who was an oil magnate, a billionaire. Actually, I'm not going to get any more because he happened to be related to the Secretary of State. Did I just say that? Anyway, yeah. Exxon people. But he was eating a thing of cottage cheese, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you want some? And he's not a very clean eater. He has a kind of all over his shirt and stuff. And I'm like, no. So he goes up to the fridge and he scoops out some tuna salad and he throws it in the cottage cheese and he keeps eating. I'm like, oh, this is so gross, dude. Mm. This is so disgusting. I know that sounds like a very base analogy, but you know what I mean?
No, I totally understand. That's really
it's like,
weird.
No, it has nothing to do with it. It almost at this point, it seems random, doesn't it? You know, the rags to riches or riches to rags, whatever.
Well, it story. Does, but I'm telling
doesn't
you
doesn't it
seem
now, random?
No, it does seem
it's
random.
It's not. It's not random, though.
It does seem random because here's the thing. We won't use names here, but I'm just saying in general. Somebody thinks that I hear it all the time from people. They don't actually say it, but this is what they mean. You know, I got to, like, translate because everything is so censored still.
Well, the thing is, it's like, look, here's a, I'll give you advice after the show. You want a good show, think of it as livestock management. Whenever you go into the public,
right,
whether it's a guy standing on a street corner, you're doing a Hollywood movie, alternative media, or Fox News, in the back of your head, you have to think about livestock management. What do you know about livestock? Right, they got the group, right? They get hungry. They can hurt each other, right?
Well, right. Well, what
you don't want them in your living room.
What you do is you create a space for them to be, right?
Right.
You make sure to get a supply of something you can feed them.
You don't want PETA on your ass. You don't abuse them,
right?
Anyway,
so you don't abuse them,
ethical
of course.
Treatment of animals,
you
right?
know,
yeah.
You don't abuse them, or at least you don't abuse them so that you get caught. And then after you've got them nice and comfortable and penned in, then you do what you want with them, pretty much.
Basically, you know, here's the thing: The reason I don't like speaking anymore is because it's kind of like throwing stuff in a pig trough. The pig doesn't really care, but it's just as long as it's something to eat, you know. And, you know, you know, the earth is a cross between an insane asylum and a pig farm. And if you don't know what I mean, you've never been to an insane asylum or a pig farm, I suggest you visit both, and then you'll be like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what's happening in every society, in every country right now.
Yeah, in one way or another, I have observed both places. Greek and mm-hmm. Yeah,
what they need to start, people could start looking at is what something is, not what something does. Let's take the pig, mm-hmm. Give him a bath, dress him up in a tuxedo, or if it's a female in a fine dress, and take him to the debutante ball, and the pig is opening the doors and singing, and everyone's gonna say, look what this is doing, look, it's so well mannered. Yeah, but I come in and say, well, that's what it's doing, but what it is, it's a pig.
Mm.
It's a pig, no matter what. Like, remember the circus? The circus bear, oh, look how smart that bear is. You take that bear and you put him in his natural environment, he's an idiot. The other bears will be like, what's wrong with him? Right?
Yeah, but still, so, he'll eventually be a bear.
I do this a lot with relationship sniffing with people. Oh, I have a problem with relationship. I meet the buzz. She's a pig. She's a dog. She's a cow. She's a goat, you know, using the animal, mm-hmm. you know, the characteristics. I just see that right away. I mean, well, you might have had a good time with them, or that, I'm not telling you what they do. I'm telling you what they are based on how they were groomed immediately. Now, whether the relationship lasts 6 months, a year, or 10 years, if that's a pig or a goat, it's a pig or a goat or a dog, you know, meaning the characteristics of those animals, right? Not when you're young, when you know, whatever people used to. I'm not talking a pejorative, like, you know, like, for example, it's funny.
I know what your mind just leapt.
Well, no, you know, like, for example, a goat is very agreeable, but they eat anything. Like, you know,
yeah.
You know, I tell goats, you know, what birthdays are based on, and they're like, oh, that's terrible, human sacrifice. Then a week later, they call me, would you like to come to a birthday party? The goats are always agreeable. They'll sit there and agree with you. Oh, if you tell them something pleasant, they'll say, oh, that's so pleasant. If you tell them something that's nasty, oh, they'll agree with you. And then, like, they go off, and then, you know, the opposite is true again, right? Most people are goats, right? And then you have the pigs, which are dirty, and they're violent eaters, very violent, you know, when they eat. You know, if you put your finger in a trough when a pig is eating, it'll just take your finger
off.
You're
going to lose it, yeah.
Yeah, they got like 250-pound clamping pressure on square teeth. So then you've got the pig aspect, and then you've got the dog, right, which guards, right, and shouts, you know.
And still very primally travels in packs when you let them.
Right.
Yeah,
Like
wolves do.
But they eat feces, they eat vomit, you see. So, you know, and then you've got the sheep. Now,
which is somewhat efficient, honestly, because there's still nutrition in there.
Coprophagia. Most people are coprophagia. Copro means, you know, fecal, and phagia means to eat.
Right.
Also, you know, you take that into account. But here's the other aspect of it. The sheep, you know, they call them sheep. Well, that's a wrong term. They're mostly goats, pigs, and dogs. But, for example, a sheep, if you've been around a sheep farm or whatever, when they graze, they take out the root, where a goat only eats the top, right? But also, if a sheep is very particular, if you give it feed that is improper, it gets sick. So a sheep or a lamb type person, if you, let's say, make them aware of a certain holiday or a certain system, they will never go back to it, because it'll make them sick to do that, right? You get it?
So it's all backwards.
So you want a sheep in that. And people say that's weak and following. Not really, because if you've ever really been around sheep, they have these things called rams. Have you ever been around rams?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, not for a long time, hopefully.
No.
I wanted to see them. They're friendly.
Listen, they're not very friendly at all. They're very powerful. I wanted to see – short, quick story – because I was born under the sign of Aries, I had this fascination where I wanted to go and see rams. So I found a place where I could. And even in a pen, and even when they're, you know, seemingly somewhat domesticated, not very friendly fellows, not at all.
And they're courageous because they've got really big
horns.
Balls.
Well, horns and balls.
So anyway.
And they charge into things head first, seemingly without looking, but they're looking. Let me tell you something.
They'll think about it before they – once they start charging, it's all over, but they'll consider it before.
That was my point, is that they know which direction they're going in. I mean, it's not like they're doing it blindly. But once they do get going, that's the end of the story. They're going to stop when they're stopped. So that's what I observed about them.
Yeah. In essence, there's no – you can't – you can help – here's the thing. You can't help people, but you could help them along. You get my point?
That's absolutely.
You know, people say, how do we make this a better society? You're not, forget it. The society doesn't need to be improved. It needs to be scrapped, recycled. You go to a recycling place. What do they? They munch it up and crush it down to its bare thing, separate it, and then rebuild it into something else. It's the only real solution that there is. But you can help people along. If someone needs a little, that doesn't mean you're going to be helping them.
That's what I do. As best I can, I help people along.
You know, can't help them though, right? They're unrehabilitable.
But that's the thing, is that even when you take on a singular project and you want to like assist somebody, and you know, whatever you have, no matter what your level of resource is, it's like. I hate to say this, but it's like nobody is capable of being rehabilitated, so to speak, you know?
Right, they're unrehabilitatable. There are a few, and there are going to be some more in the future. They'll be pulled out of this mess, at least in their minds, you know, the cosmic censorship, and they'll be able to isolate themselves and be recognized. When the whole thing is flipped and done, it's going to be great, and it'll be well worth it, you know, the crap. But at the same time, you know, there's a difference. You see, I know you're still doing the show and all this, right? You have to stay in what people are used to, right? In other words, If you're doing a show and you're talking to headhunters, you can't veer off the shrunken head subject. And heaven forbid you say shrunken heads are bad. You'd be finished, right? Now, this is very different from what, let's say, the Google and the YouTube censorship is. That's just a matter of showing you that you're being controlled. That has nothing to do, because there's no one in any media at all that is saying anything viable, you know. I mean, you know, take that however you want to say it, Chuck. But the thing, because there's no explanations, a lot of descriptions, you know, like when the economy goes bad, people immediately talk about alphabetic, but no one is talking about the source, right? Mm-hmm. Whether if there's a health epidemic, no one talks about how the human body works, right? Everyone just grabs onto what's in the media because that's what the culture accepts, you know? And that's what, for example, the censorship is based on. Who is popular on the fringe? We're going to screw with them to let them know who's boss. But they happen to, I think, leave a lot of the stuff that's just real hardcore alone, because the people who are really hardcore aren't speaking. They're not doing anything. You know, they're not doing YouTubes. They're not doing elaborate, you know, promotions and all that. They're just sitting back and waiting for this, you know, knowing that, like we said earlier, this is not fixable. So if you know the situation, if you go to a society of headhunters and you know you can't fix them, you better stay talking about what they know, which is shrunken heads, you know? Mm. You can't, I'll toot my own horn. Greek speak is not for this society, right? You can't tell people, look, you're being pranked by the banks. There is no money, right? You know, there is no money, right? Okay. Or, you know, that you don't absorb anything, right? You're not a filter bag, right? Right? You get it? Mm-hmm. You know? Or, you know, all these religions are state functions, you know? That's why when you talk to a preacher, the two old beef patty special sauce, you ever see them when they, you know, how they speak, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, with verse. So, you know, no. This is not, no, this is the wrong planet. For what I call triple T rating, you know, truth rating.
Yeah, I totally understand.
And I'm going to say in a really low voice, truth, because you can't, because everybody, the morons have hijacked it, you know.
Well, see, that's the problem, though, is that there is a reality in front of us. And I keep having these conversations, right? Oh, I'm having one with you tonight, but this is what I'm doing, is having these different conversations to try and get through the time, not just the time, but also to get at a couple of nuggets of the reality.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah, a little bit. But the thing is, there's no audience for it. Let's be honest, like we say, right? There's no audience, and there is an audience, but it's so few. It doesn't deem a show. It doesn't deem promotion. It doesn't deem whatever. You know, it's just like, put it this way: there's so few people that could handle the truth, right? Hmm. That the higher forces know who they are, and they will get it out to them anyway somehow. But it's not going to happen. You know, like the internet, by the way, all this media stuff now, that's easy. You know, that's just a beta test, like someone on a stage, 1, 2, 3. That's not a microphone test. The reason this is happening the way it is to get these devices in everyone's hands so they could get audio and video later. Later is coming pretty quick, by the way. So, yeah.
Well, it does seem as though things are beginning to move now, finally, after
Here's the thing, you know, people say Greek talks about the end a lot. Well, not really. It's really the beginning, you know. But here's the thing. One thing that people don't know, that the main problems that humans are going to notice, you know, where they're going to be more than just slightly inconvenienced, is only going to last about 3 years, right? And that's not for another decade or so, a little less, you know, around a decade, less maybe. So that's when it's going to start. But in the meantime, what you're being built up of is a different mindset, different form of centralization, and also opening the mindset to the non-material world, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to continue this in the next, it's not quite an hour left, but the Greek is with me, and guys, this conversation is going to get deeper, I assure you. Stick around, the O'Kelly Effect will be right back. We'll be right back.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. The brilliant author of The War State brings you exclusive reports about the big changes upcoming in the markets. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Young man in the front row, spit that gum out. Thank you. Cherry flavor. And now the moment we've all been waiting for. My guest tonight is a man whom we all know and have grown to love over the years. A man who won the Nobel Peace Prize for making the world's largest cherry-flavored Jell-O shooter and a great man of science. I give to you, Chuck O'Kelly!
And now, whether you want to hear it or not, he's telling it like it is. Your host, Chuck O'Kelly.
See, you always got to have a bumper where it's just loaded with a bunch of crap because that's how you get people's attention. Anyway, we're well past going deep into the second hour with the Greek here. We went a little long in the first hour, but obviously I don't want to hold him back any longer because it's been a few months since you've been on with me. I think earlier in this calendar year, anyway, you were on with me.
I don't know if I'm really on. I tend to tone it down. I could say I'm off. I mean, you don't really want to hear me when I'm on, do you? Anyway, I'm just joking.
You know, you never can say. You know, you and I have had some interesting conversations that were not on air about a lot of things. Now, here's the funny part, guys. I actually had in mind I was going to talk about the spiritual connotations of sexuality and this
That's
kind
easy.
Of thing, you know, and I'm thinking that the Greek could probably fold it right into the last 45 minutes here.
That's real easy, but are we going to address what's for public consumption and the livestock, or do we want to get down to the nitty gritty that ties all of the human history and brings it forward?
Well, it's an interesting thing. I would love for you to lay down the nitty gritty. I'm not sure how many people will hear it, even if
I didn't say nitty gritty. I mean, from human history, bringing it forward, or the stuff that people are used to hearing that you get anywhere else?
Well,
which one?
Obviously, look, I don't like doing the stuff that everybody gets everywhere
else. All right,
else,
so let's get. It's not nitty gritty. It's just real. You could figure it out on your own if you don't like it. If you like it, you still got to figure it out on your own.
Well, that's
and
right.
That's the whole thing.
Because yeah. Listen, I had these recent conversations with Jordan Maxwell, and quite honestly, he has stated this over and over again that there is just, you know, there is just sexuality that is absolutely scattered throughout all of these different, you know, practices, faiths. Everything is sex, it looks like. And on the one hand, I started getting emails about this where it was like, yeah, that's true, that's what's there. But on the other hand, it's like, well, you know, if it wasn't for sex anyway, we wouldn't be here. So,
well,
you
that's
know.
The point. Maybe Jordan Maxwell tune in and learn something. And here's the aspect.
Sure,
it's very, very simple. You know, from an animalistic point of view, they have the desire to procreate, right? Why? Well, it's not just – if you look at some animals, for example, maybe if you're on a farm, it only takes them like a few seconds, right? Or a minute, right? You know, so it's not a matter of pleasure. Some animals don't enjoy it. It seems like, you know, the cries and all that. So there's this natural thing to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Even plants do it, by the way. You know, not that way, but there is a male and female aspect to the pollinization. Okay?
Sure. Right.
All right. Now, with humans or mankind, I hope Jordan Maxwell tunes in to hear this. What you will find is they have the ability to plan. And because they have the ability to plan with the help from the gods and other influences, you know the word inspiration? That means it's divine. It's put into you, right?
Sure.
Okay. Now, what's interesting about that is that when mankind in history, no matter how far back you go, they always thought about the future, future generations. That's why many of the laws were structured a certain way, laws of inheritance, authority, etc. You get it, right?
Of course. That's laws, why monuments, everything in humanity's mindset is about the future and what
right.
the future generations will see. This will stand
exactly.
here for generations.
So how do you get those future generations, Chuck? Through copulation, right?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so what's copulation? The genitalia coming together, and then of course the act, whether it's ritualistic or personal. Ritualistic meaning, you know, the sex temple where it's open, or it's personal, you know, where it's private, right? Mm-hmm. Either way, those organs have to come together. Okay, so and when it comes to the ancient philosophical thinking, this was the common thinking as well as the priesthood. If the two genitalia have to come together to have a future generation, what's the most important organ in the body for the future generation? It's the genitalia of the man and the woman, isn't it?
Okay.
That's why you see all the phallic and gynec symbols through ancient culture. I mean, for example, if you tour Scotland, Ireland, northern part of England, you'll see these cairns, which are stone carvings and stone markings on farms, and they're like giant penises or vaginas.
Right.
Ancient ones. They go back thousands of years, or even, you know, pre-Christianity, let's say, right? When they shut that down.
Throughout ancient cultures, you'll see various phallic and gynec symbols.
There were street markers in Rome. Street markers in Rome would be a giant penis pointing. And they took, of course, they, you know, don't show that, right?
No, they
anymore.
Don't. They don't.
Okay,
but even when you take a look at some of the modern, you know, the modern discoveries, allegedly, of, you know, ancient art, and you take a look at it, all of it, a bunch of it has to do with basically a sexuality in one way or another.
Right.
There is always this constant
right.
like, promotion of sexualization, which is odd because some people object to it in the modern age and say that, you know,
because they're juvenile. Even the person you say you're discussing has a juvenile mentality
right.
because they can't see the origin. See, what's the difference between a mature mentality and a juvenile mentality? The juvenile, like if you're a juvenile, they just want what they can just tell you what it is based on what it tastes like, not what it's made of.
Mm, okay.
That's why you could get away with all that artificial crap in children's food, where an adult that has a mature palate, you give them something, you know, like fast food, this tastes terrible, even though it's supposed to be this. A mature palate can taste not only the taste, but also determine what it's made of. Like a juvenile will say, this is tastes good, and a mature person will say, oh, it tastes good because of all the MSG in it. You could taste the MSG, let's say, right?
See, I had that experience not too long ago with a much younger person who basically, you know, said, hey, try this. And it was supposed to be like grape flavored or something. And I could not identify it as grape flavored. I said, well,
right.
I can tell there's sweetener in it. And I can tell there's.
So I assure you yeah. throughout for the past at least 130 years, because you got to go back into the bullshit that most people are bringing forward from the New Age movement regarding this. There has been no mature discussion publicly at all, period, zero. And I assure you of this, of the topic that we're discussing right now. There is no one, period, that sees it in a mature way, not because it's just the way it is. You know, I could just tell you because it is. There's a juvenile way. People will say, oh, this sexual stuff, oh, yeah, but can you tell me about it? Don't tell me what it's doing. Can you tell me why it is or what it is? Basically, from a historical and current, you know, perspective, and the answer is no.
Well,
it just doesn't exist.
Well, no, it doesn't. And the weird thing is that there were all of these artificial kind of ideas that were given to it. You know, like nudity in and of itself is not necessarily sexual. And,
right.
you know, like that is something that, again, there's a difference between the juvenile and the more mature way of looking at something, you know, simply because a painting or a photograph is of a naked person. It does not mean that it's absolutely sexual. Now, if you're an immature person, naked is a sexual boom. You know what I mean?
That's right. And immature can mean you could be 90 or 80 or 70 or 60 and be immature. And that's all I see.
Oh no, that's true. I'm not ascribing it to a chronological age.
It's not chronological. And right. the thing is, there's a lack of any discussion. You can get a financial commentator that's a senior, and I could tell you they're just juvenile or a medical commentary, juvenile.
Right.
There's a propensity. It's been shut down. Mature is bad. You know, it's kind of like this. It's like everyone's chasing their tail, meaning when you're young, you can't hardly wait till you grow up. And when you're old, you can't hardly wait to feel young again, right? Or be young. So no one's ever present. So let's just go do a recap. In order for future societies or future generations to come, you need the genitalia to come together to make the future, so that to make the future generation. So that's why the genitalia are so important. So because it's so important, let's just blast it out there so the gods know that we know. Okay. Now let's take this all a little bit further to a little more mature, which no one is discussing. When you make, let's say, have this exchange, you see it in many cultures where they have an exchange with the gods, they bring them a sacrifice, right? You don't bring like soiled tissue or mediocre stuff to a god. You bring the best of the best to a god, right?
Okay.
Because you can't hide it. They know, right? So what is the fruit of the most important part of the human body? You know, what when the most important part of the human body for future generations is the genitalia, what is the product of that? It is a baby. So the baby makes, according to a lot of these ancient cultures, the most apt sacrifice to a god. That's why you see the child sacrifice. And I'm serious. And look, what we've just said in the past 10 minutes is nowhere to be found in such a simple term that can be conveyed. And no one is discussing it. And it would behoove anyone to think why it's not being discussed, because maybe it's a planet full of morons. But anyway. Okay, so it's very, very, very simple, right? You see? Now, just because something is very important, does it need to be flaunted and shown all the time? No. I think it's in bad taste, whether it's now or back then. When this is not open for personal opinion or whatever. And when I say bad taste, it's beyond more than what I think is bad taste. Because believe it or not, philosophically and religiously and academically and culturally, in most parts of the world, outright, overt, you know, just in your face, sexual organs, phallic and genitalia, gynec symbols, was considered bad taste, outwardly, right? You will find it in most of places that were aloof, places that were dedicated to that. Like, for example, if you grew up in New York in the 70s, you know, you say Times Square to someone in the 70s and 80s or 60s, that was dedicated to what? 42nd Street, prostitutes, pornography, etc., right?
Yeah, a lot of
the
lot
red
of
light district.
Right.
Right. It was dedicated usually to that. And also some lower cultures. Like, for example, if we talk about headhunters, that gets a little more esoteric, but along that line. So the aspect of sexuality now, okay, is what do you know about the legal system, subjugation, and slavery? I think we once talked about slavery is a legal condition, right? You understand that? If you don't understand, I'm not saying whether you like it or not. It's legal. You could sign. In other words, if you're free, you can become a slave. It has to, you have to show how you became a slave, whether it's by word, by witness, or on paper. That's why they get freedom papers when you get, right? Okay. So slavery, that's why when you deal with authorities or Leos, they don't care. They always have to identify you as property first. If they can't, they have a problem, right? And by the way, just a little bit on the Leos, law enforcement officers. Do you know the banks put them in, right? That's why even today when you look at small towns, they don't have police. They have sheriffs only, right? Only the big cities have police because they came in when the banking districts were formed. After the governments became privately owned, they broke up the country into districts. Like, you know, America or United States is broken up into 12 financial districts, 12 banks over them. And the major cities have police. And the reason why you have police is so the banks can protect their interests and create order. Because they own everything. You can – even old movies, you know, you go to New York. Well, you know, Astor. You ever heard of Astor? You know, the old – I own – he's the landlord of New York. You know, so of course he has his police force, right?
Of course.
That's why if you – there's a couple of case precedents. If you go to an administrative court, you have problems with the police, and you go to administrative court, not justice court, with the state, they'll tell you, look, I know you got a problem with the police of the state or whatever, but they're not – they don't work for us. They're private contractors, dude. There were no police in America until the late 1800s. They started in New York, Boston. Guess where the financial capitals in the U.S. were? New York, Boston.
New York and Boston.
And so if you have police in your area, That means that you are hardcore banking district, and the banks have no money. They're just managing property. That's why there's nothing done about police violence. Because no one, you're just property. So let's go back to, if you're just property, most people will never understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're not law enforcement people anyway. They're policy enforcers, which is basically...
Yeah, it's by name. Yeah. But look, does a chair care? See, you're just property. So law has nothing to do with you. You only go under rights and code and
well, that's
how
why
you need
policy
to behave.
Applies. You see,
right,
because
right.
Look, what do you do? You have a policy. If you have a private situation, you can have a policy where you've decided that this is proper behavior. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
Right. That's why they have. Well, that's why they have a problem with quote unquote illegal immigration, because they're not signed in as property and they're over here using their property. And if they work and you give them a paycheck or cash, they could go to international court and say, look, I did work for this guy and he gave me these fake money. Hmm. That's stealing. But once you get them to sign up to be legal, now you just waived all your law and now you go under rights and you know you got a serial number and now you're fine. And all the other idiots think that's the way it should be. And that's the way it's going to be. That's why when you read ancient texts, it says, and the slaves will be freed. The bonds, you ever read in ancient texts, and in the end times and after the end times, when the gods return, the people, those that are in bondage will be freed. But right now, people are so stupid, they'll say, I'm not in bondage. What are you talking about? Of course you are. Okay. So let's go back to bring it back to the future. When you were a slave, let's say they teach you about the black American slaves or whatever in America or any. Do you know when you're a slave that you go under the religion of the master?
Mm-hmm.
So let's use the black American thing. Let's say you were a tribesman in west coast of Africa and you had whatever rituals that you did, whatever gods you served. And you're brought over to Washington's plantation, and he's a Protestant, whatever, Christian. Guess what you're dubbed? Now you are Protestant because you're his slave.
Right.
Right? You see? That's why, like, again, with the pagans now, like, America is Wiccan and Norse form of Christianity, right? Because they have Christmas and, right, you understand the calendar is, you know, and all this other stuff, right?
Right.
The names of the days.
Right.
So it already is pagan, you know? So... Okay, so now
I recognize those every single day. You know, it's Moon Day, it's Woden's Day, it's Thor's Day, it's Friar's Day. Yeah.
Give you an example. There's a chicken chain. I'm not going to mention its name, Chick-fil-A. Anyway, they're proud. Well, we're closed. There's another one, Hobby Lobby. Whatever. We are closed on Sunday for worship, right? That because they're very, you know, whatever, Orthodox Christian or whatever, you know, fake morality stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The workers there. They have to go along with that. They're like, no. It's our right to work on that day too, you see. So everyone, that's why I joke around. I'm like, oh, look at all the people. They want those born-again chicken sandwiches, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, funny stuff.
Yeah. Or, you know, the hobby. Oh, going to go get some born-again balsa wood, you know. I mean, this is how it works. Like, if you were a slave in a Muslim country, if you're picking sand, okay, or olives or lemons or dates, you better say you're Muslim if someone asks you. And you know what? Your children will be.
Mm.
And what you call Islam today is basically a creation of 19th century English and French colonization, right? They have no the modern day Islam is nothing like it was 100 years ago or 150 years ago at all.
Mm.
At all. People don't know that. I mean, there's just so – anyway. Okay, so the modern people now – you know, I gave the analogy of these corporations that are owned by these Christians, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The people that own these countries, like you have zones, right? Like,
right.
You know, all of North and South America except for Uruguay has the same owner, right? That goes over to Western Europe. There's a group that owns those countries, you know, those sovereign states.
Right.
Okay. If those owners decide that they're going to put a certain brand of sexuality or give permission to certain sexual practices, you better believe those countries will accept it. You get it?
Okay.
So, for example, let's talk about the sodomites and the lesbians or the gays, homosexual rights. They don't, that hasn't, you know what that is? That's just now the state gives you permission to do that. Because in the past, if you did that, you know, there were sodomy laws and other laws against it, right? But now the state is giving you permission to do that. You have the right to do that because it's wrong. You're still, but you have a right. It's an accept, right? You see? It doesn't mean that it's right, lawful. Mm-hmm. You have to understand when you're given a right to marriage, same sex, that doesn't mean that it's lawful. It just means that the state is giving you permission to do, right? It's like, you know what the definition, the legal definition of a license is? Permission to do something that's unlawful otherwise. Mm-hmm. That's the definition of a license. Look it up. I mean, it's not my opinion.
Well, it's interesting that you get marriage licenses to begin with, isn't it?
Yeah, that goes under what used to be on the internet. It's not anymore. It's called the Uniform Slave Codes of 1750. Because in 1750 in America, they had a problem when different slave codes in each state. So what was really punishable in one state was not in another. So if the slave went, you know, the slave says, oh, I want to leave and go become a slave over here because it's easier for that.
They had different laws in different places. Like, you know, there was actually a set of laws governing the treatment of slaves and things like that.
Which it's called Uniform Slave Codes of 1750 that I think 12 states or 11 states signed up on. Mm-hmm. And included in there was the birth certificate. If a slave is to have a child or offspring, it's to be put on a birth certificate. If he's going to be on a carriage, he needs a driver's license because he's driving the carriage. And if he's going to go more than 15 miles, he needs a passport. And he also needs a license to carry guns and weapons. That's why the international line, how many miles is it set? 15 miles off coast. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Still, they're using those codes. Now, I was showing these codes online more than 10 years ago. Now, they're not online at all. You could search for it. You won't even find it.
Right?
So your passport, your birth certificate, and all your licensing and all that stuff comes from the Uniform Slave Codes, which were adapted from the Victorian era. I don't understand why people can't even just look more than just 100. I'm not asking you to go back to ancient times. Just go back a little bit more than 100 years. What do you know about the Victorian era? Do you know that they used to, it was very common medicine, which is another discussion, it was called corpse medicine or necropharma, which was they found that if you dried up dead human bodies and gave them to people, it had medicinal effects. This was standard, by the way. They would even chocolate coat human dry dehydrated parts and give them to children. This was, in other words, the Victorian era is a cross-section example of when these sovereign states came in. Do you remember the movie Soylent Green? Soylent Green or People? Remember?
Sure.
Do you know that if you're a pork eater, if you have a taste for pork, you have a taste for human flesh? Did you know that? Instinctively. Mm-hmm. Why do you think they promote that? That's why the ancients didn't promote that. There was an old Dickens book. I think it's not too long ago, Dickens, right? 150 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Some of his writings, you know, one of the characters introduces his son. He says, this is my son. I'm teaching him how to eat pork. And the woman was like, oh, this is in a, you know, Western society, you know.
Mm.
Right? So, you know, there's no possibility to have rational conversation. So let's just tie back the sexuality. When you're forward thinking socially, because, you know, the ancients thousands of years ago knew they still had thousands of years to go.
Okay.
The only way they're going to have future generations is by preserving the genitalia of the male and the man and the woman, right? And that's why you saw that when something is important, you flaunt it, right? Or you show it. So that's why that's the root basis of your sexuality. And it also ties into the root basis of human sacrifice, especially child sacrifice.
Right.
Because that was the fruit of those things. And this is, by the way, it only took a minute to say that. And you could try to study this subject for a year. You won't get that. Because I just distilled down several years of study in simple, plain speak that anyone can get. Of course, no one will remember it because that's just the way human minds work. You know, most people have a bad case of amnesia and schizophrenia.
Well, right, which, so, you know, which is interesting because a question came up in the chat room. And this... You know, does spilling your seed make you unclean is the exact question. I wanted to read it.
But you have to understand what that means and for who. For your common human right now, no. If you're living under a certain lawfulness, it would make you unclean, which the term tamei, I'm presuming that's from scripture, let's say the Hebrew scriptures, tamei. It means unclean, but it also means unfit. And but it because you're talking about a time, especially which can happen at any time, when you could be in the presence of a high form of God at any time. Right. And because they determine it, so it is so. I'll give you an example what that really means from that perspective. And just like any unclean thing, whether it's yourself or being offered. Chuck, if I knock on your door right now and say we're going to go meet, let's say, the Emperor of North America. Right.
Okay.
And you're in your cut off sweats and a holy T-shirt and flip flops. You're going to say, well, let's go. Or are you going to go try to find your cleanest dirty shirt and look proper and slick your hair back or something, right? Look good. You want to put on your best, right?
Okay.
So basically, when you read a lot of these ancient writs regarding gods, you when you were going to present yourself to a god, even through prayer, because that's a form of communication. Like, for example, right now, you and I are on Skype doing the Ocelli effect. I'm presenting you myself to you right. sonically.
Right.
If, in other words, that could be made unfit and unclean. If I had something buzzing in the background, you're going to say, dude, we're trying to do a show here. That's too noisy, right?
Right.
Okay, so that unclean state, what the gods prescribe as being unclean, is that is noise, interference to them, not to you.
Mm.
You know, what is it, you know?
Okay.
Right? You get it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember how we went earlier? They don't have a physical body. So for the simplest analogy, I give this to young people, is when you're looking at, let's say, a red stop sign with the white letters, it looks that way, the red, the shape, and everything to you in perspective because you have a flesh eye. That organ is translating that light to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a god, an angel, or a spirit being, you don't see it that way. I assure you, for sure. You don't see it that way at all. Now, obviously, they're able to if they were going to communicate with you, they would tell you that red sign because they're operating on a higher level. They could use that as their communication. But there's no way that any god or spiritual or angel or demon or whatever can see the world colors and shapes the way you do because they don't have flesh eyes.
Well, and you know, even with a deviation from the typical, I can tell you that that's true because I've described to you certain things that I see. That,
yeah, if you alter the eye, you will see differently,
yeah,
just like a lens.
Yeah, exactly. So what happens is there's a lot of different ways. If you change the instrument that you're using,
of course, the result's different.
You
right?
will
the
get a different result. You'll get a different effect. You'll get a different impression, say,
right.
For your interpretation. Yeah.
They're seeing light for what it is, not for what you take for granted. So when you read any ancient writ, and I'm talking about of a high caliber, not stuff written about ancient writs like religious crap, you will see that if there's a prescribed deity in there, they'll always prescribe a condition,
mm-hmm.
right? You know what I mean? There's a prescribed condition, like this is good, this is bad. That's a prescription, right?
Right.
Of a condition, right? And very often it's not understood by humans because they're limited to their fleshly, receptors, you know, perceptions.
Right.
Right, you can't say that you're not limited most of the day to your fleshy perceptions. Of course you are. The only time you're not is when you have your imagination. And the thing is, what's in your imagination is also based on input you got from fleshy inputs. Can you get input that is not flesh-bound? And that's where the knowledge base and the wisdom base and study comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe how many times I've had discussions, you know, with several people, and this one older lady, I have to say she's older, she says, I don't need to get any information from a book. Wow. I was like, can you say that again? Because that's like so stupid. Just say it again, because I don't believe I just heard that. It has nothing to do with it being a book. It could be on a DVD. It could be on a magnetic tape. It could be scratched in stone. The thing is, you're getting a communication.
Well, see, a right? great deal of what I learn is by sonic interpretation.
That's the best.
I do a lot of that because it is extremely taxing to my eyes, right? To read certain things, you know this too. That if you give me something to listen to, I seem to get a lot more information from it than if I were to sit and read it, right? It's just I'm quite accustomed to doing it that way. I prefer audiobooks, okay? You know, things like this. And also I pick up on information that a lot of other people seem to miss. In these presentations.
Well, audio is the way to do it. As a matter of fact, I think we discussed the nature of historic libraries.
Right.
You took your material and read it in a booth, a little booth. And that's the where the conference room started, because if you wanted to read 200 pages, you brought some friends with you and you passed it around.
Right.
And if you walked into an ancient library, you would see hundreds of little booths, depending on the size of the complex. And you would the whole place would be just vibrating, because each booth would have a different, you know, they're not in unison, right? So
of course not.
This is very different. Now, what they did was the powers spiritual and physical behind, they knew that that was critical and important for retention and the effect on the mind, so they shut it down. Now you go to a library and read out loud, what do they tell you? Shh.
Yeah.
Right, constantly. That means that you're finished in terms of the modus operandi that was around for thousands of years. So, but now it's back. Why? Because now you can have a mini television in your pocket, you know, aka a stupid phone, smartphone, whatever, with headphones on an ebook. We're back. Right? Sonic.
Mm.
Right? You see? See, so things will reoccur, but differently. So instead of you reading a parchment or a pulp, which is, you know, parchment's animal skin, pulp is paper.
Of course.
Or reading off of something, now it's pre-read in a thing that looks like a mini television, because you can't forget about the television. So we didn't want you to forget about the television, so we made it so small you can put it in your pocket now. You can't tell me those little smartphones don't look like little TVs. Right? I mean, notice how things are still around to haunt you. Right? And we're going to plug you with the way your ancient forefathers were with information, even though it means nothing to you and it's superficial, because you've been reduced to livestock willingly. Right? But it's important that all these things are in place.
See, that's the weird thing, is that I sit and I listen to something that takes 10 minutes, okay, to listen to, and present it to somebody else and realize that they are incapable of absorbing the information.
So what? You mean someone or livestock? There's a difference. If you know any someone, let me know, because I haven't seen any someones in a long time.
Well, by someone, I certainly mean, you know what I mean.
No, I do know what you mean, because if you know someone, there was who was it, Aristophanes? Who was the ancient philosopher in ancient Greece who allegedly he lived in a clay vase? It was big enough, you know, to be like a tent, you know, like someone could live, walk into a big vase, and they did have them that big, you know, clay pots. And he would go out in the noonday sun, which is the brightest time of day, with a gas lamp on, you know, an oil lamp. Mm-hmm. And he'd put in people's faces at noontime, you know, it's bright sun. And this guy's crazy. And he says, hey, dude, what are you looking for? He says, I'm looking for a man, you know, mankind, like instead of the livestock that you guys are, right, kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Right.
You see, I'm coming from that point of view. So.
No, I understand. But what I'm saying is that I share, you know, with someone a piece of audio that I figure, since they do speak the same language that I do, they should be able to interpret the information that is contained within it. And it's really fascinating. It's like predetermined how much they're able to absorb, what it is they're completely unwilling to absorb. And there is a prescription for this. And it's just
are you talking to people who are censored? Because you could come out and say it. Are they censored or are they not censored and willing to upgrade themselves?
Well, some people are embracing greater censorship, and some people are starting to see, wait a minute, something's not right here. You know, there's this seeming split that I'm seeing emerging. And
But it's going to be – but here, this has always happened. Like, for example, do you know that when evolution and Einstein theory of relativity was announced in Paris in the 20s, as being the new standard, there were riots in the street because it was bullshit. Are you aware of this?
Well, you know, I'm aware of the idea that it was supposed to be a Jewish plot to confuse Americans.
Well, it's not just really Jewish. When Freud was coming over, you know, Sigmund Freud on the ship, he says, now we're bringing the plague to the American psychiatry, right?
Well, because sometimes a penis is a penis. But
right, no, but psychiatry is, you know, for sick. If you know, I know quite a few, more than two or three psychiatrists in my life, and they're very poor character and deranged people themselves, and they're the people that are considered entitled, you know.
Well, it's, you know what it is? It's a pseudoscience. I told somebody this last week or 2 weeks ago, and they got really upset with me. I said it's a pseudoscience at best that has a couple of useful elements in it that you can apply and utilize when dealing with people, but otherwise it's really just a twisted sort of...
I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why in a disagreement in a universal sense.
Okay.
You're correct within the culture that accepts it, like the headhunters. The headhunter culture accepts the shrunken heads. If you speak out against it, now you're the one with the problem, right? And if you don't have enough shrunken heads, you got a problem. You see, so what the psychiatrist, you know, but you could look this up. But what is it? Last year, what is it? DMG or whatever their manual that they put out. The American Psychiatric Society put in that 26% or 28% of Americans are psychologically insane or unfit. You know, basically one out of three.
Right.
Well, I'd have to say it's 99%, if not more. But that doesn't matter. You know, I mean, either way, you know what. It's just bad taste, again. But, you know, we didn't discuss the sexuality with all this stuff, the politics, the psychiatry, with the goddess religion. I think maybe we should bring that up because this is something that is not being discussed by your friend or any place else either. And why don't we bring up what the purpose of the goddess religion is?
Well,
because
yeah,
this is esoteric, beyond esoteric, and you're not going to get this from studying New Age stuff from the 19th century either.
No,
on a superficial level.
And it's absolutely necessary because we're entering a time where there is this normalization of mutilating the individual in order to create something other. You know, I'm not a he, I'm not a she, I'm a Z now, you know.
Publicly, you mean. Publicly. That was all. That's never gone away. See, let's talk about, let's say, the gays or the sodomites or the lesbian, whatever. That's always been around, but now it's public, more public in your face, right? Certain things, when you say mutilation, are coming in, like the actual surgical sex change, tattoos. Like if you had a tattoo more than 30 or 40 years ago, like, is he a biker? Is he a criminal? Is he in the Navy? Right?
Mm.
It wasn't normal. Certain things like that, yes, you know, like back in the day, they didn't really have the wherewithal to do sex changes like they do now at the drop of a hat, you know, basically. In other words, if you just get a gang of doctors, they could chop you up and splice you together with antibiotics. Hopefully you'll heal. And now you got an Audi instead of an innie or an innie instead of an Audi. You know what I mean, right?
Right.
Okay. But what's in place, you know, when I talk about these things, most of them have been in place and have not gone away. They're just going to emerge. And one of them that's been emerging for 100 years is the goddess religion. And I'm not talking about what people think. I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about what it is, not how people relate to it. Like for example, if you go online, you put in goddess religion, you got all these middle-class post-menstrual women saying, oh, we got to get the goddess going back. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, that drives me absolutely crazy. The power of the goddess, because it's a feminine thing. And it's Lilith type movement people, yeah.
Right. And Lilith doesn't even mean what it is. Lila means night. That's a whole other.
Well,
you know,
no, but that's what they've adopted as a symbol, and they state that, you know, there it is.
Yeah,
but
that's why I call it the middle age post-menstrual thing. They either take that on or they take a class on how to be an interior decorator. But anyway.
That's something, yeah.
None of this. So you'll look around. I'll tell you what you're not going to find. You're not going to hear anywhere. This is it. Very simple. The goddess religion in secret has always been teaching this. And this is inspired, meaning, you know, how you have demons speaking. There's plenty of Hollywood, by the way. There's some movies, a Sherlock Holmes movie I caught recently where the Illuminati types were evoking a demon. Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, wow. You know what movie I'm talking about? It's about 10 years old, less than that. A couple of actors in there. And the whole thing was to get rid of the parliament in the end or whatever. And I'm like, this is exactly, you know, these things can be evoked, right? You know, demonic evocation and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this has been going on in private. But the goddess religion's teaching in private has been this. I've said this many times. I'll say it again. Humans at one point were in a godlike state, and now they're in a fallen state. Which, by the way, you know, there is no fall of man. There's a excising of man, right?
Okay.
But anyway, when man was in a godlike state, there was no definition of male or female. You were just a god, and you were either both male and female or none, asexual. You were hermaphroditic, meaning you had both an innie and an outie, or you were asexual. right? I remember once we had a caller having a problem with God having a penis, right? And I'm like, it's not a matter of making stuff up. It's a matter of are you educated or not, right? But anyway, make a go back to the goddess religion. When mankind was in a godlike state, you get it. There was no male, female. There was either you were both or none. So the way you get mankind's society to go back to a godlike state is by promoting male with male union, and the males become sterile and effeminate. And you promote female with female union, they retain their fertility and procreate without the men. And when they procreate without the men, you will have the hermaphroditic asexual being. That is the teaching, the core teaching of the goddess religion. Right? That's why medical science got into all the screwing around with test tube babies and all that. It has nothing to do with good science. Right? I mean, they're giving you cocktails of poison. That's another thing of the goddess religion. I dare anyone to look up what pharmacopoeia means, or pharma. I dare you. It means poison.
Right?
Have you ever looked it up? You
know, the etymology will show you that that's what
pharma
it came
means
from, yeah.
Poison. Period. Just like gift. You know why you give gifts at Christmas and birthdays? In German, gift means poison. So anyway, so this is the teaching of that goddess religion that no one has picked up on. I mean, that's speaking. I mean, you could go on I call it the stupid rectangle, right? It's funny when I tell an academic, go on the stupid rectangle. They're like, what are you talking about? I said, is that an iPad? He said, put it down, walk away. What does it look like? Oh, shit, I know what you're talking about now. Okay, so no one is – you could search – you could study and have talks and interviews and read books for the next 10 years. You're not going to get it all distilled down to that. Why? Because it's not time yet, and it's on a need-to-know basis.
Well, I got to tell you, it's really funny because anytime I try and introduce this concept of the ancient goddess religion into a discussion, I get shut
malevolent.
Down.
Malevolent, yeah.
I get shut down. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody.
Well, you should try talking to people instead of livestock.
Okay.
Unless wait. Okay, maybe you think you're Dr. Doolittle now. I don't know. That's up to you. You think you could talk to the animals? Anyway.
No, man.
I said that. I think I sent the point home already, right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I got you.
Look
but
at
I'm just,
Jay.
I'm just
he's
saying,
Chuck over here. He's trying to talk to the animals. All right.
But listen, I'm going to keep making my attempts. You know to.
Well, go ahead. It's called throwing a marshmallow at a brick wall.
But eventually.
Oink oink, bark bark, moo moo.
See, but eventually.
Why don't you try that. I think you'll get a little further.
Yeah, I know, but I can't do
two,
it that way.
Or,
you know.
Or you run into the Christian types. They'll tell you, oh, you got to read two old beef patty special sauces. Yeah. You see how they throw verses? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, this is planet Earth. Today I was out in commerce and I ran into some people, you know, cashiers, you know, I said, here, she's like $4.50. So here's four notes and some coin. I hope you get money for it someday. She goes, what, is it not money? I'm like, how long have you been on this planet? You've been on this planet for more than an hour? You know what's going on over here? She like froze, you know? So.
Well, you make people nervous when you tell them something that they're not used to hearing.
I didn't say she was a people. I said there was a cashier there. She looked like a corn-fed heifer.
Oh, okay, fine.
Anyway you know, do you remember the old, as a mechanic, I went into his shop once and he had a poster. He was really anti-cigarettes. This is before, you know, he had like signs on a chain link fence. Absolutely no smoking on the premises. I was like, oh, wow, okay. So anyway, I walk into the office and he's got these posters and it's like a pig or a monkey or a cow with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He says, they look real funny with that. And he goes, how do you think you look? You ever see that poster, anti-smoking poster, where they have the animals with cigarettes? Says, don't they look really funny like that? You look just as funny with a cigarette out of your mouth, right? You know?
No, I never saw those posters, but I remember Ozzy Osbourne telling a story about his dog looked at him funny, and that's what made him decide to try and quit smoking, was because the dog was looking at him like, what are you, an idiot? That's
okay. Well,
you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever. But you know. But look, if you look at the headhunter culture, they had that as part of machoism. You know, the James Dean. T-shirt rolled up and what's hanging out of his mouth, right?
Yeah, I know. That's what started my long-term addiction to cigarettes.
It doesn't matter. That's the head on. See, so the thing is, when I say I ran into a mechanic, you know, it's like what form of bipedal, you know, because he's up on, he's not on all fours, he's on twos, right? So once you relax about, see, if you're not, if you have, was a Saturday Night Live thing, decreased expectations? Like, if you have no expectations, how are you going to be disappointed? If you run into someone, let me know. Skype me, email me something. Hey, Greek, I ran into someone, meaning a man or woman, a person, a people, a real people. Let me know. Let me know. They're out there somewhere.
Well, you know what? I know this. I know that that I am definitely not. I don't seem to be on your level, okay, when it comes to this. But at the same time, I know I'm not on their level either.
Either
you know what
way.
I'm saying?
Define level. Take a minute and define level.
Well, it's a very strange thing. Level. You know, looking at the kingdom. You know, they talk to us about the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at the animal kingdom for a moment. I'm not part of that. I'm just not. I really am very much separate most of the time. Outside of, you know, when I get together with people over the electronic conveyance. Outside of that, I mean, I don't even interact with but maybe three people a week. You know, I mean, that's it.
All right, if they're people, then you got three people around you. Shit, man, that's a hell of a lot of people to have around you in this world.
Well, you know, I consider the four-year-old a people. I'm sorry. You know,
Yeah, until he learns that he needs more shrunken heads. I mean, depends, you know. It depends on how you – if he's four, you better – you know, here's the thing. You ever notice how they have – I talked about the kids' culture.
Mm-hmm.
That goes all – that doesn't go away. You can't have – Moo says the cow and Ba says the lamb and here's the choo-choo train. And then where do you stop and where do you stop that? It continues. Go read the curriculum at Harvard University for physics or medicine or law. It's the same. Moo goes the cow, Ba goes the lamb. It doesn't stop. Once you start on that foot, that's over. In other words, when you see the animals – when they raise their young, do they go, let's give them a little pup? The mother dog goes to give them the puppy book because it's different than the dog book? No. In other words, there was a time in human culture, by the way, a more, let's say, evolved society, where there was no children separate culture. The children emulated the well-thought, well-educated adults. There was no separate culture. You know, by the way, when did this kids' culture come out? 50s, 60s?
Something like
you get
that.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah, why? You know, yeah. You know, the end started 2,000 years ago, right? People don't, you know, they don't get it. You know, but anyway.
Well.
That's why it's not the end, it's the beginning. See, if you're in the ends for so long, you know, you should be tired waiting for the end. Now you're waiting for what? The beginning.
Well, I got to admit that I am waiting for a serious change. You know, there is something.
Well, you're
coming.
Getting a series. You're going to get it in the next few years. There's going to be a rearrangement of geopolitical. Because right now, for example, all of your leaders the officers that are put in front of you, obviously, even if you don't have more than a third grade education, you could see they're not very smart.
Right.
Any of the world leaders, right?
Of course.
I mean, if you're okay. All right. So the reason, like, let's just take America, for example. Ever since Kennedy, they've been discounting the office of the president. How do I know? Look at the characters that have been sitting in there. They want to, the owners of the country want to get out of your mind that the president is capable of doing anything. And now with the current president, that's a perfect example. You know, of what's going on. Of course, you know, they put someone in. By the way, I have no interest in politics, but I have an interest in being objective. I don't know if you know anyone that's been in New York in the 80s and 90s, and you brought up the TRUMP guy. Very negative. Anybody that was a New Yorker, you brought up the TRUMP guy, you were like, oh, that guy's an asshole.
Well, see, but that's the thing. I lived there during that time.
Yeah, at that time, it's, you know, like, and all of a sudden, it's perfect because if you want to get the people away from worshiping that office, you have to give the so many characters over so many generations that give them a bad taste in their mouth, right?
Yeah.
No pun intended. But here's the thing that people don't understand, and they never will, is that it has to be subtle. And they have to go along with it based on, you know, what the various techniques that they use because, you know, if the people that own the countries and control society think that they need a sophisticated plan to brainwash the people, they're wrong. You got to keep it really simple and you got to keep it stupid. Otherwise, people won't be attracted to it. Give you an example here.
You know what? That is the end of the normal broadcast time. You are dead right, though. That is exactly right. You got to keep it simple, stupid, because that's the only way that stupid people are going to understand it.
There you go.
The Greek has been with me for 2 hours. I don't know if we'll continue on past the break, but if not, guys, no matter who you are, where you are, remember this, I'm merely Ocelli. All of you are the effect. The Greek, interesting discussion on a Thursday, I promise you that much. And who knows, maybe it'll continue. Stick around.
Upon the great crusade, the eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave,
we're going to come right back with the Greek. So stick around if you're on the live stream, and if not, you're going to have to catch us in the after effects section on Ocelli.com. So there you go. Hang around.
Man to man. The tide has